Well, if anything is more out of my comfort zone, it's dodgeball. But I can say no to my kiddos when they ask, but when other kids are like, Miss Tarina, play dodgeball. I mean, how do you say no? So I spent most of my time going like, and then did you see the aggression in Dwayne's face? My leaders, we even played kickball, kids versus leaders. And let me tell you, Marsha Gehring, Missy, I mean, kickball, it's a brutal time. And I'm all like, okay, let's play. Well, I'm going to distract you and tell you about the video as all the kiddos come up, because you need to grab Play-Doh when you come up for my message. So come on up, kids. My helpers will hand you Play-Doh, and you get to open it right up. So in that highlight video, it just gives you a peek into children's ministry, because often you're sitting in what we call big church. So at least 2-3 times a year, we like to make a video so you can see what we're doing upstairs. The happy video was Kelsey's idea, and the kids had a blast, but the tricky part is they had to dance to no sound. So when they're making those moves, they did not have the rhythm of the happy sound. They had this. So the kids kind of got into it. I think the leaders were maybe thinking we shouldn't have signed up to help with children's ministry, but, you know, the cards are laminated, sealed, and delivered for the next school year, so you're in. Then the other video toward the end is our summer fun. Now, something unique here we do with children's ministry. Come on in and have a seat when you're ready. Sit down right by me. We want to kind of let the parents know how hard you worked this summer. So in the school year, kindergarten, first grade is called Noah's Ark. And my scripture goal for them, outside of all of our weekly scripture, outside of all of our curriculum, is that they would know John 3:16 fluently. So they have to kind of work on it on their own, work with their classroom teacher. I teach it to song. We have a poster in their room. And so if they said John 3:16 to me, then I paid their way to the Butterfly House and Outdoor Campus. And we had 17 kindergarten and first graders and a lot of wonderful helpers. And they all learned John 3:16. That was in June. And then in July, friends, you want to face me? What did we do in July for second and third graders? We went to Thunder Road. And for Thunder Road, they had to learn the Ten Commandments. And again, they can learn it and say it, or we also taught them the Ten Commandment Boogie by Go Fish. So if you don't know your Ten Commandments, listen to Go Fish, and you'll have it nice and memorized with some cool dance moves. And then we did Thunder Road, and then in August, we had fourth and fifth grade do our almost all-nighter. Second year, we've had that event. And I took them to Sky Zone, and we played sardines and the whole building in the dark. Lots of food. I kind of did a devotional. Then Mariah meets us and kind of issues out those fifth graders into student ministries and gives them a little pep talk of what youth group's going to be like. And then we give kind of a powwow pep talk to our fourth graders becoming fifth graders, how they are now the leaders of children's ministry. And in order for me to pay their way to Sky Zone and our almost all-nighter, they had to learn the Lord's Prayer. And all of our fourth and fifth graders know the Lord's Prayer. So give them a hand. They worked really hard for our summer event. Okay, so we need to switch our bodies. Ready? You're looking at your grown-ups. Everybody get to the floor and face me. Come way over closer this way. Come over here, friends. Come way close. I need you to be near me because we're going to be moldable. So keep coming. Now, I gave you your take-home early today, and parents would maybe think that that's kind of crazy. But being the teacher that I am, I know that sometimes you learn better if your hands are busy. Who likes to, like, journal, have a notebook, be kind of tootling on something, but you're also totally hearing and digesting the information? Should we check with our grown-ups? Grown-ups, how many of you need a piece of paper to keep your attention spanned? That means you've had good teachers along the way, that you've given yourself that permission. We all learn in different ways, and sometimes to get our brain to be active and really engaged in listening, you can't sit there like this, because what happens? I just planned my grocery list at Hy-Vee. Sometimes we daze out and we're not concentrating. So today you get to have your hands busy. So take your Play-Doh out of your holder and go ahead by starting to make a perfect ball. And today my message is called Made Just Right. Now when we look in scripture, there is all these goofy analogies that maybe the grown-ups understand. Like pastors will compare mustard seeds. And then to really bring in that visual, they show a mustard seed and it's like tinier than a speck on your finger. That your faith is as tiny as a mustard seed, okay? So pretend you have a mustard seed on there. Every time we pour into scripture, there's all these different analogies. Well, when we dig into Isaiah, it's about clay and the potter. So now you've entered my outrageous art studio, okay? Now to get ready for an art studio, I have to wear my painting smock of some kind, right? Now I teach pre-K, and I have this. Now ask me, Miss Tarina, how often do you put it on for painting days? Ask me that. I don't. I forget. Thursday was Clifford Day, wearing brand new jeans, and I came home with a big red thigh. 15 years of teaching, you'd think I'd learn. But I forget to put on protective gear when I'm painting with my students. But we should. Sometimes artists wear gloves, painting smocks, aprons. Is it hard? Get a new one. I got plenty. Sorry about that, bud. That's going to be a perfect analogy in about 5 minutes. Go ahead and give me the hard one. That'd be great. But you need a soft one because you're moldable clay. Is yours hard too? You're good? Okay, you can switch it too. Okay. Thanks, bud. All right. So as we enter my art studio, we're trading up. We're trading up here. We're just not going to worry about it. I want to show you that we've kind of created this art studio. So if an artist was going to get ready, they have to have all their supplies. Now, do you think of yourselves as artists? Do I have any artists down here? Who likes to color? Paint? Yeah, Play-Doh. And clay. Now, clay really looks like this. Whoops. Clay is much more kind of gooey and very dirty. You should have seen my house after we had our clay day. So in order to get ready for today's message, I really had to turn my house into an art studio. And I put my four kids to work to show you things. So this clay we used on the potter's wheel, and we even hit the petal, and we formed it. So this is going to hold a flower, I believe. This is a teacup. No laughing. This was hard creations here. Tea pourer, teacup, a vase of some kind. So each of my kids got to take this clay ball. They rolled it like you're rolling now. They put it on the potter's wheel, and they had to create what they wanted. And then we obviously made some paintings, too, that I'll talk about in a minute. And these are all the things you need to have your little art studio. Now, when you have this clay, you can create anything you want. So we're going to pretend our Play-Doh's clay now. But I want to tell you, Play-Doh was invented for kids. And do you want to know why? Well, obviously, he heard my morning message at 9 o'clock this morning. You blew my secret. But I'm going to make sure the grown-ups know. Play-Doh wasn't just made for fun. Do you think Play-Doh was just made for fun to make your kitchens and floors messy? Once upon a time, I thought that too. Don't kid yourselves. Play-Doh was made by a preschool teacher to help students get finger dexterity. Big words, I know. But one of my biggest jobs as a pre-K teacher is to take these fingers. So show me your writing hand. Which hand do you write with? I'm right-handed. Some of you are left-handed. These little muscles from the time you were born have not been built up, almost like lifting weights and finding your muscles here. You have to find your very, very tiny muscles in your hands, your finger dexterity. It's called your fine motor skills. So this teacher invented Play-Doh so that you would do this. Squeeze it with your hand, play with it, form it, and all that is almost like hand exercises. And what equals good hand motor? Very lovely what? Let's ask Pastor Brian. Very lovely what? Penmanship. So I have permission to tease him. I always say that he did not play with enough Play-Doh, and his teacher wronged him at some point in his life because his penmanship, obviously his finger dexterity, did not get formed at a proper age. So that is my, I have permission to tease him. It's a true story if you've seen his handwriting. So this Play-Doh was made so that you guys could actually have good penmanship. Show me what your fingers look like when you color with a crayon. This is your fine motor too. Nothing bigger than a crayon you should write with and small, small pencils. It gives you lovely handwriting. Do you think of yourselves as artists? Yes. Can you color anything you want? Can you paint? And your biggest and best audience is your grown-up, and they probably think everything you made is lovely. We start off with so much more guts, so much more zest, so much more willingness when we're kids, don't we? Grown-ups, any of you think of yourselves as an artist? Go ahead. If you know you are, hold it up. Be bold. Oh, yes, we have a real artist in the back. She has painted our paintings. I'm so glad. Thank you, Nancy. And this morning we had Phil, Dina, other people. Look at the small handful. Someone along your life told you you couldn't do it. Somebody said, oh, it's not going to be your future. Your future is not in artwork. But we all start off willing to color. We all start off willing to paint. We all start off willing to create anything. And as the grown-ups in their lives, we tell them what? I love it. And if you really, really don't know what they made, you say what? Tell me what you're making here. Show me what your story is. They don't know that you don't know, right? So we made an art studio in my house. And I would have said to myself, I'm not an artist. I can't draw freehand. My sister was the artist. I did the singing and dancing. She was a gymnast and an artist. It's kind of the paths we took. So for my wedding gift, she made this. And it's a lovely picture. And to make it textured, she actually glued tissue paper onto the canvas to make it textured. She's really talented. So each of us kind of have gotten artwork from her over the years. But becoming a mommy and a teacher, I've had to tap into my inner art. And when I let my kids create whatever they wanted, they needed me to help freehand things. So I decided, I think it's good enough for my child. I would never put it in a studio, but my kids thought I was a rock star, that I could create Lakers and the UND hockey. And Kinsley's is glow in the dark. So when she puts it in her room, it will brighten up at night. And then Charlie saw A Starry Night, I believe by Van Gogh, and he made his own A Starry Night from freehand. So everything they did, I thought was beautiful and wonderful. You can paint pots, and you can make clay, and you can make Play-Doh, because you can, and you can be colorful, and your grown-up's going to think it's amazing. When we look into our scripture, I want you to put your eyes up here for 1 minute. On our first slide, if we look at Isaiah, read it with me. It says Isaiah 64:8. This is how we learn scripture memory upstairs. I didn't even have to tell them what to do. Should we have the adults help us? Isaiah 64:8. Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all formed in your hands. So you should have a perfect ball at this point. And I want to show you what this scripture means in our life, bringing the scripture to life. This half of the group, make me something that you would see of value. Ready?
What is value?
Anything you think is valuable. You could make your bed. You could make food. Something that you think is valuable, create it. Ready, set, go. That's your side.
Done.
This side, make something that would represent you. That if you were to show it up to your grown-up today, they'd be like, yep, they love to play with Legos. That's why they made a Lego. Okay? Make me something that represents you. And who's your audience? Whose opinion matters to you today? Maybe me, but really who in your life speaks into you? Your grown-up. So I want you to hold it up and let your grown-up see your creation. So Charlie, you made this of value. What is it?
An apple.
Why is it valuable?
Because it's food.
Food's valuable. Do we need food to live and survive?
Yes.
Absolutely. What did you make of value? It's a tough question, I know. Did anyone else? What did you make of value?
A ball.
A ball. Balls are valuable because you can play with it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What else did you make of value?
I made a cup so you could hold water. You need water to live.
Absolutely. You need water to live. That is valuable. I think your menu's been planned, dear. Where are you? A meatball. Meatballs are valuable. Do you like to eat meatballs? They make you strong.
I love meatballs.
You love meatballs. Whew. We're getting towards lunchtime, people. Now over here, something that represents them. What did you make?
Watermelon.
Because you? Do you love watermelon?
My brother does.
Brother loves watermelon. A microphone, because why?
I like singing.
Because she likes singing. Where's your mom? Does that sound like her? Absolutely. Your mom would know exactly why you made that.
I made a heart to love people.
Oh. Oh, see? Right on cue. Oh. She made a heart to love people. Absolutely. One more. What do you want to make, honey? What did you make? Uh-huh. A smiley face, because why? You like to smile a lot. Lovely. You want to tell me? A bed. We need beds. That's a value. A video game controller, because that's probably what you like to do in your pastime, right? Absolutely. Now, hold up your precious items. And if you were the perfect artist today, and you knew that you had made no mistakes and your artwork was finished, what would you do? What do you do to keep that forever? What do you do? What do you do with it?
Roll it back up into a ball or something.
Then it becomes a ball. But what do you do if you want to keep that forever?
Cook it.
Cook it. It's even simpler than that. So it gets hard. Absolutely. Hold it on your hand. You other potter, you made something perfect and you don't ever want to see it turned into anything else. Hold it out. You leave it out to dry. Then it forms, and it's hardened, and it can never be made with again. And then you can remember it forever. That's what most of the finished art products look like. You're not changing it. It's perfect.
I want to change.
What if you are the artist, and you think, I just did not make it quite perfect enough? What do you do?
You take it on to brush it.
You unsquish it and you put it back in a ball. Okay, everybody put it back in a ball.
Done.
Because you're not done. Because now we're going to take this scripture and bring it to life. So Jesus is our sculptor. He's our artist. Because guess what?
He made us.
Every one of us. We already have that in common in this church, in our schools, in our world. Jesus made us. And here's the best part about it. He is our creator. Listen closely. He made no mistakes when he made you. He thinks you are perfect. So make this perfect ball. Make it perfect. Here's when our reality hits. Our world. Can I see this one? That's okay. All right, we've got this perfect ball, right? We're living our days. We're living in our world. We wake up in the morning, maybe feeling optimistic, happy about the day. Do you ever feel this perfect thing that God has made you to be now doesn't feel so perfect? Here, hold your ball up. Put a thumbprint in it because now the world just told you you're too short. Maybe the world just told you you're no good at spelling. Maybe the world said math is an absolute struggle for you. You wear glasses and somebody teased you at school. You're not skinny enough. You're not big enough. You're not talented enough. You didn't get the soccer ball in the goal. Never use sport analogies when you're not sporty. You would think I would know that. Okay. Yes, thank you. Goal. You didn't get the soccer ball in the goal, and now your teammates are all disappointed. What do you look like by nighttime? Deflated. Do you feel kind of sad? Kind of close your eyes a minute. Has the world made you feel a little sad, a little unworthy? Like the thumb has been... I look at it like this in the world. Ooh, the world has literally rubbed me the wrong way. Oh, again, I'm just not worthy. We're trying to live to these unbelievable standards that are unfair to keep anybody at. Absolutely, we do not eat Play-Doh. It hurt our tummies. Make your ball again. Make it perfect. Roll it up. Sometimes we have to remember to put ourselves back in a perfect ball when the world has squished it out of us. Now, B was here, and she's the only one I know bold enough that I could ask this. So at this point in my message at 9 o'clock this morning, I said, B, how old are you? She said, 90. And I said, B, is God done with you yet? You know what she said? Absolutely not. Grown-ups, is God done with you yet? If you had clay in your hand, what would you look like today? Would you be in a perfect ball? Are you feeling unworthy? Pretend you have it in your hand. I'll inflate you two today. Ready? Roll it up. I'm serious, grown-ups. There are not enough people in our grown-ups' lives to remind them that God is not done with them yet either. And the better you feel about yourself, the more you're reminded of God's love for you and that he's not done with you, the more that you can pour out to the next generation. Wouldn't it be awesome if they could live in our world without thumbprints sticking into them every day? That people wouldn't hurt our children's feelings? That they wouldn't tell them that at age 8, they're not good enough for something? Oh my, that would be a wonderful world. Nothing makes me more sad as a teacher and as an educator than to see you deflated. Nobody deserves to take that joy away from you, ever. Oh, I love it from the mouths of babes. God keeps us safe in this little packet, and the world might hurt our feelings, and we might not think worthy, but God is keeping us safe because he doesn't want you to ever forget his promises. And you know what? It's okay that the world tells us. I mean, obviously the world told me early in life, watch this. You're no good at sports, sweetheart. Not for you. But I found my niche so I could put my ball back up again. It wasn't in sports. It was in other things. If we find our niche, that's the best part because we don't have to be great at everything. Here's my secret. Listen, you don't have to be perfect at everything. If we were, or if you ever feel like everybody else out there is perfect and you are not, they're wrong. God did not ask us to be perfect at everything because you know what? Our world would be very haughty. In the world, word haughty is not like I'm hot. Haughty, as in they're all pumped up, they are better than sliced bread, everybody else is awful. We need to have thumbprints because it keeps us humble. We need to have thumbprints because it makes us compassionate. We need to have thumbprints because sometimes through those thumbprints, we're steered in another direction, and that direction is where your talent lies. God, look at this picture right here. When God is forming us and making us, it's from the time you are born until the time you get to meet your Savior. Our grown-ups are still being molded. Our grown-ups are still getting thumbprints. Kind of sad, isn't it? Sometimes in the workplace, sometimes with your own family, we're still getting thumbprints in it. But God is still protecting us. And all he wants us to do is to lay down at night, to think of him, picture him folding you, molding you, making you back into a perfect ball so that the world cannot keep rubbing you the wrong way. My prayer for you is that you would find your niche, that if the world squishes you, that you would let your grown-up pour into you, you'd let the church, those of us that love you and are pouring into your lives through teaching upstairs, give us an opportunity to inflate you back up. And I love that I'm a moldable piece of clay. If I was left out and stagnant, then my heart isn't ready to hear from God today or tomorrow or the next day. But my clay is soft, and I live so gratefully knowing, ready, hold it out, that God is not finished with me yet. Hold it out. Can you look at your clay? Picture this as you and say to God, please do not be finished with me yet. Can you say that prayer? Please do not be finished with me yet. I love that I can learn through heartache. I can learn through positive reinforcements. I can learn through thumbprints, and I can learn through being inflated back up. And in all of it, the only opinion that matters is Jesus. When we put Jesus in our lives, he is our light in a dark world. His opinion should matter far more than your classmates, your family, your friends. Let him fill your cup. Let him mold you into something beautiful that he's already made. You are perfect. Think of your favorite collection. That's how Jesus sees us, that you are already made perfect. He made no mistake in making you. So when you take your Play-Doh back for the rest of the service, and as you play with it, picture yourselves moldable, growable, learnable, that God is not finished with you yet because he made no mistake in making you. Let me pray before I send you back to your seats. Show me with your bodies you're ready to pray. Lord, I thank you and praise you for scriptures like we find in Isaiah. We thank you for the analogies that we picture your hands on us as clay. I pray that everybody here would feel moldable, that we would feel like this clay has not been laid out and dried. Lord, I ask that you would continue to form us in the fruits of the Spirit with love and gentleness and patience. Lord, allow these children to feel confident in their feet. Allow their parents to be a place of calmness, a place of positiveness, that if they come home and the world has rubbed them the wrong way, that these parents are pouring into their lives, that their teachers, that Hillcrest is pouring into their lives, helping them reinflate to realize, Lord, that you've made no mistake in making us. Lord, we thank you that we are moldable, that we are shakable and movable. May we be a light in a dark world. And we thank you for this analogy in Isaiah that we could think of you and how you're molding us. And all of my kiddos say, we love you, Jesus. Amen. Please take those back to your seats.
What are these?
You can have them.